This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello, everyone. Great to have you with us. Welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast for our second episode of January. We've got Plymouth to look forward to this weekend, and that will form a lot of the conversation for this week's episode, alongside a reflection on how close Pompey came to another 3 points, only for an agonising last-minute header to end up in the back of the net against Barnsley. It's been another week where we've welcomed a number of new listeners to the podcast. Ollie, for some strange reason, people keep coming back for more.
Well, it's not some strange reason. We do talk some sense from time to time, I like to think. And hopefully it's good content, you know. It's something a bit different, isn't it? And we've said before that not everyone has, as much as people love the videos, don't get me wrong, not everyone has an available period of time to sit and watch it all on YouTube all the time. Some people do, and it's great to see them follow the channel, and what they do is amazing. But it's also quite nice to have this little addition where if you're out walking your dog, or you know, you're going to the gym, whatever you're doing, or in your car on your way to work, you can just sit and listen to it. And, you know, it's quite a nice way of getting a little update on Pompey, I think.
I'd be interested to see how what kind of split there is in terms of audience figures. Who listens in the car? Who listens on dog walks? Who listens wherever? Can we do poll? I think we can do Spotify polls, but I don't think we can do polls as well. So maybe you just need to message us and let us know. We did have a message from someone who said top-notch content on the Spotify one from last week. So I'm going to find out who that was, because it's going to... I should have written that down, but there we go. So thank you for coming back again. Welcome to another episode, our 9th edition. The majority of our listeners will be joining us before the Plymouth game. I'm going to push out the podcast on our socials on the way down to Plymouth ourselves tomorrow as we're making the trip on the Friday afternoon. It's a place you and me both know well. We'll get into that conversation in a moment. Before we do so, we'll cast our mind back to last weekend and the visit of Barnsley to Fratton Park. It wasn't quite the barnstorming. See what it did there? Barnstorming, Barnsley, like it. Was it not very good?
You're full of some beauty. Was it 3-1 or 4-1?
I for one, yeah. Well, that's what I was about to say. It's not quite the barnstorming 4-1 win that you predicted, and actually one that got away from Pompey in the last few moments. What did you make of the game? And overall, a really enjoyable watch, probably apart from the last couple of seconds, really.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good game of football. I thought, obviously, the draw was a half-decent result. I think we could have easily have won that game. It's one of those games, isn't it, where we sat there ages ago and we said, like, 8 draws, if you win 3 and you lose 5 of them, you actually end up with 9 points as opposed to 8, so you end up with more points by losing 5 games. Mm. And it's one of those where you kind of feel like we could have got a win out of it, but then equally, you know, the ref had a stinker, didn't he?
We're going to talk about him in a minute, yeah.
That's horrendous. I mean, some real issues with refs recently. I mean, that went in our favour, but my word, what a decision that was to call back play to a free kick after they clearly had the advantage and actually scored in open play. And I know that a lot of people go, oh, yeah, the defence kind of stopped. I really don't think they reacted quick enough to it. I think it was actually a goal, and it should have been a goal, really. And the ref's had a shocker. He really has had an absolute stinker there. I can understand why Barnsley feel quite aggrieved by that, but that could have easily been... I mean, the thing is, you sit there and you go, oh, that could have been 2-1, but the game changes at 1-1. We maybe play a bit differently, turn it back up, all those kind of things. So I'm not overly worried about the draw. I think it was a good performance. I think that's what everyone wants to see more than anything. The results are fairly irrelevant as long as the team are playing well together and you can see a bit of progression in the right direction for the club, which is the main thing.
Paddy Lane only came on for the last 20 minutes, half hour, but I thought a fantastic debut. Great to see what he's all about. He finds his pockets and sparks off the action, and he makes things happen around him. And that's what we were ultimately calling for, was a little bit of creativity in this Pompey side. And that seems to be what we've got.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing is, we're in this kind of weird transition stage, like we said, where we've got obviously a new centre-back come in, we've got Paddy Lane coming in, we've got a few new signings there, like dotted around the place, and it's going to upset the kind of what we've been used to for so long in terms of a setup, and that's going to have a slow impact in terms of the team gelling together. But I would like to see, obviously, it's nice to see these players coming into the team, and maybe, you know, Paddy Lane getting his first debut off the bench was quite nice for him. It would be good to see him start a game and see what he can do.
I think he will. I think he will start at Plymouth.
I think he will as well. I've got no doubt about that. It's going to take some time for him to integrate into the team and practice with the boys and build those relationships. Like sometimes you'll click immediately where two players will just get on well and they'll start playing together really well. And I think we'll see an aspect of that in certain areas. But it's going to take... It's not an overnight fix, you know. There's two big changes to the team there. Which are going to really impact us, and hopefully it will impact us in the right way, and we'll see some good points. But let's not beat around the bush. Plymouth away is not an easy fixture.
Yes,
never been a fun fixture for us. From a Portsmouth perspective, I remember going to the playoffs there, and we had to drive all the way around Bodmin to get to the Plymouth place. And by the time we got there, it took us about 4 hours. We got there, and then we lost. Losing the playoffs, it was cracking. What it was.
Well, that
on YouTube for our reaction to that, seeing how miserable we all were.
That kind of serenades us on to the next point. And before we chat about Plymouth, I wanted to raise Colby Bishop as a conversation point. Yes, he found himself offside for the first one, but it's a really lovely finish, and our crossing games improved tenfold under Massinio. But Colby does so much more than just goals for me, Ollie. He's another one that can make things happen. make things happen, and that's going to prove important as we approach the run, and it'll be really important at Plymouth as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's obviously, he's not just a one-dimensional player. He's not like a Peter Crouch where you chuck a load of balls into the box and hope him to nod it in. I'm not saying Peter Crouch can use his feet, because he could score with his feet as well, but that type of a player where he's only really got one aspect to his game. He's quite a strong character. He's quite physical. He's, you know, you can chuck a ball into him in the air, you can put it into his feet. He's got both aspects of it, and in it, at our level, he's obviously hitting the target and scoring goals. So, you know, he's a fantastic asset to have as a striker for us. And I think that his role in that team with the two wide wingers putting balls into the box and the kind of pace and attacking threat we've now got from both angles, we'll just see him score more and more and more, hopefully, as the season progresses. But also with Colby, he seems to be able to play in two kind of roles. He can play as a part of a 4-4-2, but he can also play as like a 4-5-1, where he's the lone man up top in that respect. He seems to fit into both formations well, and he's been fantastic for us this year. So hopefully he can continue that form to the end of the season.
I think even the 4-2 back to 3 really suits him as well, leading the line, leading the charge. And I mean, every... What?
The 4-2 bags of 3?
Banks.
Oh, we said bags? I was like, is this a new football saying? I don't know.
No, it's not bags. No. Not those kind of bags anyway. Jesus Christ. We got a bit of an issue with staying onside. Now, for you, is this an incompetence or perhaps inconsistency with linesmen? Is it so that we can't seem to hold our runs? You've already mentioned the referee already on the podcast, but maybe a bit of both, perhaps?
I think that there's always this weird controversy with offsides, isn't there? Was he off? Was he not? And the amount of times you see the fans at Fratton, I mean, he was offside there, isn't he? Let's face it. That picture of him there is very clearly offside when that ball was played, unfortunately.
For the benefit of our listeners, I'm showing Ollie a screenshot that was featured on 4-0 Sunday Live, if you were listening last weekend. That is as the ball was thread through to Colby for the first one, what I mentioned earlier on, that he was offside. And yes, he is offside. It's probably only a foot or so, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's from the leading part of his body, which would probably be his chest or head, won't it, at that point? And he's right forward over. There's no one, like, if you look at the lines on the pitch, he's the only one.
They help, don't they?
Yeah, it's literally right on the line of a pitch. So it's quite easy to see that he is offside there, unfortunately. But again, that comes with, the more he plays and the more that happens, the more he'll learn not to do it.
Yeah.
You like to think. Last week was obviously Dane Scarlett, this week Colby Bishop. It's just about holding those runs to the last minute. There's kind of that fine tooth comb you've got to balance on. It's also down to the midfield to play the ball at the right point. You know, he can only hold his run for so long, because otherwise he's running across the line of defence and he's just going to run into the back of a player, like what happened with Dane Scarlett last week.
Yeah, he bends it quite nicely on that occasion when you watch it back. He does try and just hold off, and that ball is just not quite played at the right time.
It's just that awareness, isn't it? Like we said, again, that will come as the team plays more together. You know, the new players coming into the team are going to disrupt the sort of the feeling around how everyone plays together and who's partnered with who and who plays off well each other and who doesn't. And, you know, those kind of little interrelationships in a team are going to take some time to build up. And once they do build up, you'll see players' confidence just go through the roof. And all of a sudden, those kind of those balls, they'll be looking for him to make that run. They'll know he's going to make that run, and that ball will be played a lot earlier, and at which point he will be onside and you will score the goal. Because I don't think really that foot's made any difference. You know, I don't think that foot has stopped him or made him score.
Dad actually said that. He went, he could have gone at the same time as them. He would have still beaten them for pace in terms of a back line. He's still miles ahead of it. So, exactly. Anyway, let's move on to our Plymouth look ahead. So statistically, it is the most difficult place to go in League One. They have the best home record in the division. They've taken 39 points from a possible 14 games, which is remarkable considering some light arithmetic would suggest that you could only get 42 points from those games. So to take 39 is pretty remarkable. Yeah. Pompey will be delighted to come away with anything from this weekend. Do you think we will?
I think it's our time at Home Park.
Oh, God.
I think it's our time. We've got someone's got to beat them. It may as well be us. And that's the way we've got to look at it. We're the underdogs going into this fixture. You know, we've come off a terrible run, lost the manager, bought in a new manager, had a bit of a bounce, had just come off a loss and a draw, which arguably could have been a draw and a win or a draw and a draw or whatever you want to look at it as, in glass half full, glass half empty. But we're due a result somewhere and they're due a loss somewhere. You know, you look at teams like Man City and Arsenal flopping at the weekend, losing to Everton and people like that. There's those kind of upsets in football that happen all the time. So there's no reason why us being the underdogs can't go into that game and produce some points. I don't see why we couldn't. We just need to go out there with some confidence, really. Play a nice attacking formation and go at the game and go win it. Look at what Wrexham did against Sheffield United. You know, they took
lost
3-2 up at the first, obviously the first way.
Talking about the first leg, right. Okay.
Yeah, well, not the first leg, is it? But, you know, the initial fixture before it got replayed. You know, they were 3-2 up with minutes to go on the clock, and then Sheffield United managed to find one in the dying moments of the game to draw 3-3 against Wrexham. Wrexham are the first team to have scored 15 goals in the FA Cup since 1955, sorry. And Paul Mullins,
you're coming out with all the stats.
And Paul Mullins, like the top scorer of a non-league footballer in the FA Cup since like 1970 as well. So there's been some, you know, some miraculous things happen in football of late, is what I'm saying. And certainly us beating Plymouth isn't any bigger than any of those things, you know. So we've got an opportunity to go there and get a win, I think, and spoil their party a little bit, spoil their run. It's about time we did that at Plymouth, isn't it? Because let's face it,
won there 2015.
Yeah, we haven't played there for a while. 8 years, so that would have been under Cook.
Yeah, Gary Roberts, Connor Chaplin, those kind of days.
Yeah, so that would, so we didn't win at Plymouth under either of our last two managers.
No, we have a rotten record there, and it is kind of, yeah. I mean, I had a little look at where Plymouth have been in terms of league table, and it actually didn't occur to me that they dropped back down into League Two during our time kind of in and around League One for certain. I believe. Am I right in saying that? Or maybe I'm not right in saying that.
We used to have someone on the podcast called Tyrrell, who, not on podcast, and he was a big Plymouth fan, wasn't he? And Stuart.
We got promoted. We won the league that year, didn't we?
Yes.
That's right. And then they stayed down. Or did they? Oh, I don't know.
I think they have come up and down, though. I'm fairly sure they got promoted and relegated and then promoted again.
Yeah, they've been down to the depths of League Two as well. They finished 16th in the 14-15 season in League Two. Yeah. So there's been some ups and downs. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Portsmouth, that's why. No, they didn't finish 16th. Let's not say that. Let me just... We did that. Right,
two.
Yes. Right, so what's happened here? Yes, I'm quite... Yes, so we won it in the 16-17 season and Plymouth came second and they came up with us.
Mm-hmm.
They then... relegated in the 18-19 season from League One down to League Two. They finished third in League Two in the 19-20, came back up 18th two seasons ago, seventh last season. They're currently second this season. That just clears that all up for you.
I think they've had some really good investment, haven't they? You know, they've had some work going on at their ground for a little while, as we know, and, you know, they've always had quite a strong fan base, being a naval town, being on the coast, you know, being
City.
A relative city, obviously. I like to think of us as a naval town, not a city, to be fair. But they're that kind of a place, aren't they, where it's very, there's a lot of connection, a lot of patriotism about that area and about that space, and they do love their club as much as we, not probably not as much as we love our club, but they're in that kind of realm, aren't they, where they do
speaking
love it.
Speaking of connections, are we going to share your connection to the beautiful city of Plymouth?
I actually lived in Plymouth for 3 years, unfortunately. And no, I loved it there. I had did my university degree there, and I had a really good time. And I went to Home Park a number of times to watch football, just because I loved football. I even went to watch Torquay once, or tried to watch Torquay Pompey, and then got told I wasn't allowed in, which was great because I was obviously going to start a fight or something, because I'm a nut. I love going to watch football games anyway. So we used to go, and they got student tickets for like £6. So I've been to Home Park quite a few times. And obviously our links with Tyler and Stuart took us there a few times as well. But they do have a lot of a good fan base. And I think that in recent years, more so, they've invested quite a lot in the club. So it's going to be a bit of a dogfight, I think. I think the fans are going to be well up for it.
Sold out both ends.
Yeah, exactly. They love this fixture. The Battle of the Ports, or whatever they want to call it this time around again. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really exciting one to go watch. And I think the players are going to be well up for it. And I think there's a real opportunity there for us to come out and turn them over. I'm going to predict 2-1 Pompey.
Plymouth aren't out the strongest, and we know their number one keeper's out for the season, so we wish him all the best. Scar's unlikely to be featured. With that in mind, they're still a serious team. I think I'd back you on the 2-1, but I wouldn't be surprised as a 1-0, 2-0 Plymouth, to be honest with you. I can see them scoring and then not letting us get anywhere near them for the rest of the game. I think if they score first, I don't think we will get anything personally, but that may just be my personal view. Stephen Schumacher's got the place rocking. As you say, and they're investing heavily in what they're doing, and they're very much making statements of intent, particularly in the January transfer window. I've brought in some real world class. God, I sounded like one of them then, didn't I? World class talent. You are. They're obviously level on points, just goal difference away from being. Well, they're quite a lot of, actually 9 goals off being top of the tree to Sheffield Wednesday. So Sheffield Wednesday have a goal difference of +30, Plymouth +21, equal on 61 points. Pompey lagging behind 38 points at this point of the season. Plymouth got 61. That is absolutely gut wrenching. Although we have played 2 games less, which means absolutely nothing if you're a Plymouth fan. But there we go. Their last 5, they've only won 2 of their last 5. Only drawn 2 and lost 1. So, actually, would you believe it, similar form to Pompey. We've won 2 of our last 5, lost 2 and drawn 1. So, you know, if you're going to catch Plymouth at a bad time, now is probably the time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's our time, mate. I've said it. I'm sticking with it. I think it's our opportunity to go there and get a win against a team that notoriously we do badly against. And I think a new manager, new sort of tactics, new kind of formation, a couple of new players, it might just be enough to upset the whole what are they expecting from us to create that opportunity for us to go win it.
Do you fancy them to go up?
Plymouth? Tricky. That is a tough one. I think that it's going to be tight. I think if out of there's 3 teams up there that are obviously doing really well, Plymouth being one of them. But it's not all over. And it wouldn't surprise me if they dropped into 3rd place and then they get into... And the playoffs is a bit of anyone can win that. You know, Plymouth have had an excellent season so far. They've played really well, but it's not in the bag by any means of imagination. I think there's a long way to go this year. There's a lot of teams that have thrown a lot of money at players in January, and we're going to see how that washes out towards the end of the season. So it's going to be an interesting season to be in League One. I think there's going to be a lot of good battling going on towards the end of the season, a lot of tight matches with maybe a few squeaky moments where people are getting a bit nervous. I personally would like them to leave our leagues. We're not going to up so that we'd have to play them again.
Well, you don't know that. Might squeeze a 6th place finish.
I'd love that. I think that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Imagine if we.
But then you'd probably play Plymouth in the playoffs.
Mean. So imagine we got them in the final of the playoffs, right? And then we beat them.
We probably wouldn't get them in the final because we'd be 6th and they'd be 3rd. You'd get them first leg, and that would be like 20, well, whenever it was, all over again.
Sneak 5th, they get 3rd, we meet in the final in Wembley, do them over, we get promoted, they stay down. Lovely. That's what I think.
I tell you what, I would absolutely love to see the odds on that. Could you imagine what a kind of story that would be? Jesus. Yeah. I think I saw somewhere in terms of odds, and please gamble responsibly, of course, but I did see somewhere in the last couple of days, there's about a 1% chance of promotion for Pompey this season, according to the bookies. Yeah. Shrewsbury have got a 2% chance of promotion. Shrewsbury 2%, Pompey 1%.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
Which is rather gutting, really, but there we go. Sorry if you're a Shrewsbury fan. I'd be very, very surprised if there are any Shrewsbury fans listening to this. So if you are, I do apologise. Well,
thanks for joining.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining. And sorry, I've just completely insulted your entire fan base by saying that it was depressing that we were one percentage point below you in terms of promotion.
I think what you mean by that is more that as a club, we're expected to be up there. And
no, very much so.
It's not that Shrewsbury are rubbish and they don't deserve an opportunity at promotion. It's more the fact that we should be in third place, battling for second, not in 10th place, battling for sixth.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the very best we're going to get. And actually, that brings us on nicely to the final part of the podcast, which we'll be coming on to in just a moment. Before we do so, elsewhere in League One, over the next couple of days, Sheffield Wednesday's next game's against Ipswich. Plymouth next play Pompey. Ipswich obviously then play Sheffield Wednesday. Wickham are going to playing Derby. Bolton are playing Peterborough. There's a lot of crunch games going on at the top, and you're talking about it there. It is very much starting to define the season, isn't it? And these games are getting really key. And I suppose I wanted to ask you how much of a statement you feel it would be if Pompey came away with anything. 3 points is the kind of the maximum and a real kind of wow, wake up call. Pompey are here and look what John Mocenigo's doing after a week or so on the training ground. And how key actually you think these 2 weeks now that he's had clear weeks of no Tuesday night fixtures of actually being able to implement the ideas that he probably told the players about on the Friday before the Exeter game and then going into that 3-game week, was able to build on for the week before the Barnsley game, and then now has actually been able to probably put into action properly ahead of Plymouth this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, obviously his impact's going to be limited to what he can do. You know, there's only so much you can do. You look at what Sean Dyche did when he took over at Everton. You know, he's managed to turn around to beating Arsenal. Now, I think that is a bit of a freak incident, like what happened with us winning those two games on the bounce. You know, we got that kind of new manager bounce attitude. But that, you know, we don't have the facilities to go in and rewrite the whole pre-season and get back into a really fit shape that he may want us in. So we're kind of limited from that perspective. So it's going to be a very much more technically adapted game from his side. That's kind of where we're going to sit and see those wins in the more like immediate future. Probably over the summer, you'll see some changes physically from the players and the team, and that will drag for into next year. But certainly for the remainder of this year, it's going to have to be more technical changes because that's just what is going to be plausible, really, more than anything. But having those clear weeks is going to definitely help him because, you know, Tuesday night fixtures are a nightmare. You think about it. You play Saturday. The players, I know that everyone goes, oh, yeah, but you've only played 90 minutes, blah, blah. You go train. But the players put so much into a game. There's so much more into it physically in terms of the challenges, the little knocks you pick up, the... you know, the dead legs.
Psychological, getting prepped and ready for it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think those kind of physical things, they don't recover. You don't recover overnight, especially if you're in the Marlon Pack age range of our footballers. You know, you're a bit older. You don't bounce as well as you did when you're 22. The 22-year-olds could probably go every day of the week, but not so much. You know, football's a bit more of a diverse sport in terms of age ranges. So I think that, you know, Saturday games, you see that recovery more on Sunday. So normally if they do train, it's a light session. It's kind of like a warm-up, stretching, bit of passing the ball, that kind of stuff. There's nothing too serious that goes on Sunday. Then obviously if you have got a Tuesday game, you're preparing for it on Monday or travelling at the same time. Then you're up overnight in a hotel. You wait in a hotel till, 7:45? Well, you're not 7:45, but you're waiting till late at night in a hotel for a day, not really doing an awful lot. You might go to a local pitch and do, like, some stretching and warming up and that kind of stuff, but that's about it. Then they've got a game. Then they're back at the late hours Wednesday morning normally. Day off Wednesday. Then Thursday you're training again lightly. Friday you're training and you're back into a game on Saturday. So with those kind of runs, you don't get any chance to train. Whereas he's going to have a chance to, you know, a nice little warm down on Sunday. Monday to Friday, do a full training week, you know, put together the things he wants to do, put in place the regime and the programs he wants the players to run and do in terms of their, you know, whether it be the structure around a football pitch or whether it be their fitness or whatever it might well be. and then obviously push on to Saturday. So hopefully those two full weeks give him a really chance to make an impact on the team and really drag through that difference for this fixture against Plymouth.
Right, final part of the pod, and it's a slightly curtailed episode, but I thought this would be quite cool to kind of introduce as maybe a feature that we might return to over the next couple of weeks. Best case, worst case is something I'd like to propose, and I haven't spoken to Ollie about this beforehand. Each week, I'd like to go, what is the best case scenario for Pompey in terms of league position finish? And then what is then the worst case scenario in terms of league position finish? And I'd be interested to see how much it fluctuates or doesn't fluctuate as the next few weeks go by. So bear in mind, Pompey are 10th, having played 27 games. They've won 9 of them, drawn 11 and lost 7. They have a goal difference of plus 2, 38 points, 2 wins from the last 5, as I mentioned earlier. The playoffs currently is Barnsley on 47 points. It's a 9-point gap between ourselves and Barnsley, and no games in hand on Barnsley, apart from the fact that 5th, 4th and 3rd, we will have at least 2 games in hand. In some cases, 3, well, in one case for Bolton Wanderers. So with that in mind, you've obviously got Shrewsbury, Wickham, Peterborough all occupying 7th, 8th and 9th, respectively. So I've read that the one way around. Peterborough 7th, Wickham 8th and Shrewsbury 9th. Pompey currently 10th. Best case for Pompey and worst case for the end of this season?
Best case for Pompey, I think, playoffs. Now, as a specific position at the moment, I think 5th is achievable. I don't think... that is out of the question. I think there's enough games left in the season, enough chance for us to have a little positive run of games winning. And the teams in that kind of position are going to be losing games. They're going to be losing points. You know, they're probably going to win, you know, maybe 50% of their games, maybe 40% of the games in the lead up to the end of the season. They'll get a few draws and that kind of stuff. So there'll definitely be points dropped. And if we get a little win run going, you know, we get 3 on the bounce, 5 on the bounce, something like that, straight away you'll see us back up in those spots, and that will happen almost immediately. It'd be like, no, we were never left. And then obviously it's a battle to the end of the season with those games in hand to see if we can to stay there, really. So I don't see that being out of the question. 5th in the league, I don't think we'll get any higher than 5th. I think 4th is out of reach, and I think 3rd will be out of reach by that point.
Worst case,
I'm gonna say the worst case scenario is 12th. I don't see us dropping much lower than what we are now, but if we make any move backwards now to the end of the season, it won't look good. No one at the club wants to see that. No fan wants to see that. It will be, I imagine, Fratton will be a very horrible place to go to if we start moving backwards from this point forward in the season. I don't think anyone's expecting us to go to Plymouth and win, but equally, we can't then just follow up loss and loss and loss again like we have done to this point.
Yeah, and we said, didn't we, 2 points a game. We're kind of averaging that. If you look at the recent numbers, you kind of got a win, a loss and a draw. If we can then repeat that over the next couple of weeks and you know, who knows, average that 2 points a game and we'll see. We'll come back to this next week. We'll come back to our worst case and best case at the end of each episode, because I think that's quite cool to see how that changes. So Ollie's currently saying 5th and he's saying worst case scenario 12th.
What do you think?
I think you've got to go to football training, so we're going to leave that for next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will, hopefully you enjoy your trip down to Plymouth if you're listening to it at this moment in time. Safe travels if you are. If you've enjoyed Plymouth and you're celebrating 3 points, you thought you'd come and listen back to what we were thinking pre-match, then thank you for joining us as well. And if you're just here for the jolly, then we appreciate you too. So thanks very much for being with us as well. That's been the 4-0-1 Over It podcast. This has been Ollie and Tom. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. Keep the faith. And as always...
play up, Pom.
Oh, that was a bit of a bad ending, but play up, Pompey.
My mate phoned me at that moment. Play up, Pompey.